So welcome. We're so glad you're joining us online as we continue our series in 1 Peter. Really what I've called it is a journey into 1 Peter. This is a letter that Peter wrote and has, right, we've had to preserve through the years, and it's incredible to get this wisdom that God has given us as Peter writes to believers who are really in a difficult situation. And I've been inviting you this whole time to follow us on YouVersion, and if you'd like to, read along with us. And every Sunday, I send out an invitation, and on Monday, we do a reading together, and last week was all about risk. We invite you to do that with us if you would like to join in with us and do that. You can do it on a tablet, you can do it on a phone, and just go to bible.com/app, and you can follow along with us. Now, Peter, what did we say about Peter last week? That he started off as Simon. He was a fisherman in Capernaum. When Jesus called to him that day and said, Peter, Simon, follow me. And he changes his name to Peter, calls him the rock, and really sets him as the leader of this group of disciples. He ultimately denies Jesus 3 times. He thinks it's all over. And then came the resurrection. And Peter gazes into an empty tomb, has no idea what happened until that night when Jesus comes to him. And again, Jesus says, what to Peter? Peter, how could you? Nope. Peter, follow me. Just again, another invitation. Peter becomes the leader of the early church and ultimately dies as a martyr in Rome because he refused to say that Caesar is God. Jesus is God. And he refused to do that. So he actually was crucified. And because he didn't want to die in the same manner as his resurrected Lord, he asked to be crucified upside down. And that's kind of where his life ends. And if you remember, last week we looked at this whole idea of following Jesus is worth the risk. Then what risks are you currently taking for Jesus? That Peter was given an invitation no other disciples were given. That invitation was, Peter, I'm going to tell you how it's going to end. And it's not going to end well, but your death will glorify me, your life will glorify me, and people will be looking 2,000 years later at the letters that you wrote. And he invited him into this following me and taking this risk because it was worth it. Remember last week, Peter said it's worth the risk because Jesus is risen and he's given us this living hope and we have inheritance waiting for us in heaven. So today, I think Peter wants to ask us a different question, and it's this one. How is your faith? How is your faith? This has been an incredible journey over 5 months. Most of us, if we would be honest, say, I'd like to do anything else in the last 5 months. Then the way it's been, the way it's gone, I wish I was doing anything else, a part of anything else, but these last five months have been challenging. And if we'd be honest, they've been challenging to our faith. Some of you have been in a grave and you had to say goodbye to a loved one and that has shaken you. Some of you have lost a job. Some of you have had some strained relationships because of this. Some of you haven't been able to see people you'd like to see because you've been told you can't because of what's happening. Some of you, finances have been difficult and other things have been challenging. Now you're getting ready to send your kids back to school and you don't know what that's going to look like. And if you'd be honest, your faith, okay, I guess. And this isn't meant to kind of make you feel bad about yourself, okay? It's meant to make us be honest with where we are. That's all it is. It's an invitation to be honest about where we are as we're following Jesus. And I think you'll see that as we go along today. You'll see that this is an invitation into following Jesus. An invitation to follow him. And that by answering this and by asking this, we'll better know where we are in that journey of following Jesus. So let me read these few verses to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. And remember last week he ended with this inheritance. We have this inheritance waiting for us. So it's totally worth the risk. He says, it is reserved in heaven for you, who by God's power are protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We are protected. He says, you don't have to worry. You need to get in fear. Do you understand? God's at work. God is in control, no matter what you think. This brings you great joy. Great joy, Peter. Are you sure? Are you really sure? I don't know. I don't know if this is joy or not. This has been crazy. This brings you great joy, Peter says, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various trials. Such trials, this is huge, show the proven character of your faith. They reveal to us how we're doing. That's why they're so important, because they reveal to us how we're doing. Such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is much more valuable than gold. Really, it's more valuable than gold? Yeah. And that's the thing we chase after at times, the gold, the money, right? Because that'll make everything better. No, it won't. Your gold, your character is more valuable than gold, gold that's tested by fire. Because this is his way of taking that element. They all would have known and said, how do you purify gold? And they go, by fire. Get the impurities out. And you have, and the gold gets in a more pure form. Well, what do you think God's doing in the midst of what you're going through? He's just helping to deal with some of the things in your life. He's using that. He didn't create it. He's using it. Even though it is passing away and will bring praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's what our lives ought to be doing. Bringing Jesus Christ glory and honor and praise. That's what our lives should be doing. He continues, you have not seen him. They had not seen him. He says, well, what? You love him. You do not see him now, but you believe in him. You trust in him. And so you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. There's that word again. You can have joy in the midst of what's going on. Because you are attaining the goal of your faith, which is what? The salvation, the rescue of your souls. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who predicted the grace that would come to you searched and investigated carefully. Even the prophets were looking forward to that day when salvation would come, and it would come in the form of Jesus. And again, as I'm reading that, I'm going, man, Peter's just helping them understand so they can ask the question, how is your faith? So they can evaluate where they're at. So they can look and say, okay, I'm in a good place, not so good place, I'm struggling, I'm doing all right. They can be honest about where they are and what's going on. So let's just take a couple of those and contrast them, because I don't know about you, but I've heard a very different message from the voices around me and the voices in media and social media. I've heard very different things. Things like this, okay? During times like these, the world says this will never end. Peter says, you know what God says about this? It's a short time. Does it feel like this will never end? When I look back and I go, 5 months? Why does it feel like 5 years? Anybody else? It just feels like a longer time you've been dealing with this. And it's just like it's never going to end. You think, if you get wrapped up in it, hey, cases are going down, then the next, oh, this is never going to end. This is never going to end. And that's what we can get really trapped into believing and thinking. And Peter says, no, don't you understand? It's always a short time. It's always just a season in the grander scheme of where God is working and what God is doing. So I know it seems like it's, and I know this is what causes discouragement. This is what causes us just to get down, because we're just assuming it's never going to end. It's never going to get better. It's never going to change. And I'm just telling you, that's not true. This is a season. And this is the season that God wants to work in our life in spite of what's going on around us. And we have this invitation by our Heavenly Father. Hey, I know it feels like forever. It's not. Please don't buy into that lie. Don't. This is a season. I want to help you through this season, and I want to help you thrive during this season. Continues. During time like these, the world says, just be depressed. Just be down. Just admit it's over. And just kind of hang your head. And do we wonder why there's so much anger in the world? Do we wonder? Do we wonder why almost any day you could turn on social media and somebody's sharing another video about somebody in a store yelling at somebody else about a mask? Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder we have so lit everybody up with fear and just angst that Of course there's going to be anger. Of course there's going to be depression. Of course people are just going to look and say, there's just no hope. Peter says, but do you understand something? You can have joy in the midst of it. They might have said, Peter, are you sure? And Peter would have said, yeah, I know. I've been there. Day I denied Jesus, what a terrible day. And then the next day wasn't any better. And then the next day, it's still over until the knock on the door and the lady saying the tomb is empty. And I went running there and I went, what on earth? And Jesus showed up and it changed everything. It changed everything. And Peter began to experience joy in the midst of everything that went on. In the book of Acts, we have stories where he's arrested, and yet he's just able to have this joy. Paul expresses it in the book of Philippians, an entire book about joy written from prison. How do you do that? Because my circumstances don't dictate who I am in Christ. They don't dictate my identity, and they don't dictate what Jesus thinks about me. And so I'm invited, have joy in the midst of everything that's happening and everything that's going on. During times like these, the world says avoid pain. Hey, whatever you can do, avoid pain, avoid pain, avoid pain. Right? There's all sorts of ideas how to do that. Peter says, do you understand there's purpose in pain? There's purpose. That pain can't be avoided. Pain can't be avoided. I understand that the goal that our world would love to have is that everybody would just live forever, right? We just avoid death altogether, and we just promise people eternal life. Only Jesus promises that and invites anybody who wants to into that walk, into that life. And he gives us purpose in the midst of whatever pain we're going through. That's why he told them. It's like gold refining the fire. That those fires, those trials, that pain is there to help us deal with things in our life. And Jesus loves to use it and grow us stronger and get us closer to him and do something amazing through it if we would just simply take his invitation to do that. So, how is your faith? How is your faith? How are you doing? And if I may add for a moment, honestly, how are you doing? You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to kind of hang your head and say, oh, I felt some things I probably shouldn't have felt, and you know, just believe some things I shouldn't have believed. And I got down and I got discouraged, and I'm giving into fear and worries overtaking my life. It'd just be easy just to absolutely rip ourselves up and say, we're terrible people. How could Jesus ever love us? So I'm going to go first. And I'm going to invite you into having this type of honesty, this type of candor of what it's been like over this time, okay? What I discovered during this time about myself, I didn't like these things. I'm just going to tell you, didn't like them. Wish they didn't happen, but they did. But they did. And on all of them, that meant that was an area in which God needed to work in me. And just say, that's already there, Ed, and I'm going to work on that. I'm going to use this time to work on that in you. Okay? So here's my list. Please make your own. Make your own. So that you know where you are, and so you know what's going on, and so you know where you're at, and how is your faith. First one, the fear has a loud voice because it only speaks lies. I made my list, got ready to lock up the church, because I was going to work from home and nobody was going to be in this building for, we didn't know how long. I get to the door, I've shut everything off, I get to the door, and the only thing I could hear was, you shut this thing down, it won't reopen. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why. I wasn't feeling that despair about it. I didn't think that. I'm just telling you that is what I heard. And that is what I heard for a few days. And if I'd be honest, it was a couple of weeks. It's never going to reopen. It's never going to reopen. I don't know why. I have no reason for this. I'm just telling you, this is what happened. And here's what that discovery meant. And the reason that voice was the loudest is because it was a lie. And then you just begin to read. right? Because it's so important. Open scripture and let God speak to you. Let him whisper into your life. And so you just start reading. And upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Wow. Well, if the gates of hell can't prevail against it, why can a virus? Right? I needed to read that, and I needed to experience that again, because fear's voice was really loud, because it was a lie. Can I just ask you, what is the loudest voice in your life saying right now? Just be careful, because fear is a loud voice. It does so because it just wants to lie to us. And when God invited Elijah, and he just spoke in the calm and gentle winds. You know why he did that? Because he doesn't need loud. He has the truth. And the truth is always stronger and better than the lie. And I just had to start listening to something else. Because what the voice I was hearing, the impression was, you're never going to reopen again. Now, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a couple weeks. It took a few months before we were able to do Thursday nights. And now being reable opened again today is huge. Okay? So I didn't automatically get to the truth until it has to happen that day. It's when God said, no, I just need to tell this that, no. Why is the virus going to prevail against the church when the gates of hell cannot? Good question, okay? I have no rebuttal for that. So that means that is a lie. And I need to stop listening to that voice. Number two. See, and you thought you had it bad. I'm hearing voices, okay? So, right, you've got it better than me. Number two, worry's goal is to convince me that God will not provide. So as in most churches, right, there's just not a lot of cushion at times, right? We don't have massive amounts of money just in a bank. We don't have people dying and just giving us their fortunes over and over again. So what we have is what we have. And if we'd be honest, over the last few years, we have scraped by every year. I scraped by every year. And that's with having services and people here and passing a basket for them to place their money in. And I'm going, what on earth's going to happen when that doesn't take place? What on earth is going to happen when that doesn't take place? I mean, some of you have given online and you've done that for a while. Thank you for doing that. But, right? So much of our giving was online and so much of it was in person. What if we're not meeting in person? What is going to happen? And I didn't know. And again, you know, worry's telling me, well, if you can't get them to give while they're here, you have no chance. You have no chance. And again, God's going to teach me something. And what is he going to teach me? Something I already should know. I'll provide. I will provide. Do you know what April was? April was the best giving month we've had in, I don't know. As long as I can remember, it was so good. It was so good. You were so incredibly generous. Okay? And when our elder Andy Irving gave us that paper and sent that out to me and said, here's where we're at, share it with the guys so we can talk about it. And you know, you're just reading it. And God's going, see, Ed, I will provide. No, but I got to have a plan and I need more money and I need a backup. And no. Because worry's goal is to convince me that God won't provide. That's the whole reason I was worried. That went on till the end of April. Whole reason, right? That was the whole reason I was worried. Because why? Oh, we're never going to have enough money. It's going to be bad. What are we going to do? And then that affects, right, my household and everything else and just has this domino effect. And there's God going, see, I will provide. So can I ask you, where are you worried? And I'm just telling you, worry's goal was to convince me that God will not provide. Perhaps it's the same goal for you, trying to convince you that God will not provide. And so you're worried and you're unsure and you know you should be doing things, but you can't because you're going to kind of paralyze because, well, yeah, but I'll do this and then I won't have money and then, right? And so, and if your mind goes where I'm going, where mine goes at times, all of a sudden you go to, I don't know where I'll get money to, I'm living under a bridge, right? How did I get there? Because that's where we go, because that's what worry does. Its goal is to convince me that God will not provide. And God keeps saying, I will, I will, I will. Would you just trust me? Will you just trust me? Third one, despair's a pit you need help to get out of. So on March 19th, I set up the iPad in my office and knew I needed to record about a 4-minute video to tell everybody what was going on and uploaded to a YouTube channel that had been created, you know, several months before, and because you should have one, and nothing was on it, and I gotta record this video. And it was a disaster, okay? Just gonna tell you, it was an utter disaster. So after take 15, I stopped counting. It was because I would mess something up, and I would stop and restart and stop and restart, and it just went on and on and on until I'm yelling at the iPad, and I'm going, this can't go on very long. I can't do this. I'm telling you, I can't do this. This just can't go on very long. It can't. It can't. So in my office, yelling an iPad. It was wonderful. Okay. I think it was the next day, 2 days later, recorded the message. The following week, Cheyenne got the worship team together at her house, recorded worship, and put it together with, again, the second message, which was recorded in the office. And I'm going, this can't go on. This has got to stop. We got to get back. I can't do this, right? Over and over and over again. And it was after that second week, a friend called me and go, how's it going? And I go, I hate this. I'm serious. I hate it. I hate it. There has got to be a better way. This is terrible. I can't stand this. And I was so negative. It was terrible. And he just goes, you know, this is not going to end anytime soon. And he did for me what I needed. Now this is different. I believe this is different for men and women. Guys, we just need a kick in the butt. That's what I needed. I'm just telling you what I needed. I just need a kick in the butt and a kick in the butt to go in the right direction. Okay. Ladies, use your own metaphor for what you need to help you get out of this. Okay. And that's what I need. So he just challenged me. Okay. So, Ed, I think this is going to go on for a while. Okay. So what can you do? So you're recording in church for this Sunday. And got me working on getting better instead of sitting and wallowing in despair because I can't do this. And it was a process. I'm just gonna tell you, it was a process. We're still getting better. I know we still got issues to fix, to make recording better, to make online better. I know all of that. I've been trying to learn as fast as I can. But I'm telling you, I'd still been there. If someone just didn't kind of, you know, give me a little kick and get me in the right direction and just got me out of this despair. It's over. I can't do this. I hate this. This is terrible. Why do we have to do this? Oh, I had great ones, okay? And they were all just ridiculous. They were all just ridiculous. Despair is a pit you need help get. Are you in despair? Then God has put somebody in your life to help you get out of that. And if you're just ignoring their calls and responding back to text saying, I'm fine, you're not, what are you going to do? Come on, God's put that person in your life to help you, to get you out of despair and get you the help that you needed. So following Jesus, here we go, requires honesty about how is our faith. And I love this statement. I will not lie to myself even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. Those stories weren't fun. Some of you listened to when our pastor's got issues. Yes, he does, okay? Yes, he does. I do. I will admit that. But what do I have to be embarrassed for? Because I got it wrong? We all do. And this is what we got to stop doing, okay? So if in your mind you're sitting there going, well, something's wrong with that guy, you have it wrong. Because we're all in the same boat. We all do the same things. Some, they're different at times, okay? But we got to be honest about where we are, because we can't ask how is our faith if we're not willing to be honest. Because I will not lie to myself, even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. I won't. Can't. How about you? You lying to yourself? How is your faith? Accept an invitation from Jesus to follow him. No, he doesn't think you're terrible and awful. He invites you into relationship with him. So I want to pray for us today that we would be honest, that Jesus would help us to be honest with ourselves so that we can move forward and we can ask the question, how is our faith? And we can see that he's used this time for growth and our good and for our thriving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us today to be honest with ourselves, to just stop with the lies, to stop with the embarrassment of, I can't believe I felt that way. I don't think Jesus' followers are supposed to. Yeah, because we're all still a work in progress. And these are the times where you do great progress in our work. So do that, Jesus. Remind us of where we are in following you. Where we've left the path, it's time to get back on. And for those who are listening today and you don't know who Jesus is, he invites you to follow him. And he welcomes you into that life of following him. It starts with a simple prayer, inviting Jesus to be your Savior and that you would follow him. Father, would you help those who are starting their journey and those who are on their journey, that we would follow you, that we would be honest, and that you would move us forward into great things. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, next week we continue in 1 Peter, living as a Christian in a non-Christian world, and we will see you next week.